Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to begin to look at the declaration of the Apostle John is listed in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So let's read those verses together. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Now, in these first four verses of 1 John, the apostle is testifying to us about Jesus Christ, whom John says that he personally has seen and personally heard, in whom he now declares to us. This declaration or testimony has great significance in the early church because of who was doing the declaring. As we have already found out, John was greatly loved and greatly respected. And so John is telling us here in these first two verses that he is not talking about someone that he heard about or someone who he read about, but John is declaring about someone whom he personally saw, personally heard, someone whom John had personally touched, the very incarnate God, Jesus Christ. Now, in the first verse of John's declaration, John gives us five separate facts about Jesus Christ. Number one, Jesus is God. Number two, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of over 400 Old Testament prophecies that foretold of the coming Jewish Messiah. Number three, John literally saw Jesus Christ with his physical eyes. Number four, John literally looked upon Jesus and physically touched him. And number five, Jesus is the Word of Life. So let's go over each of these declarations from the Apostle John. Number one, Jesus is God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1a. What was from the beginning? Now, John is very clearly describing to us or declaring to us in this first part of verse 1 that Jesus Christ is God. John is writing here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and telling us that there was never a time that Jesus did not exist, that he was in fact from the beginning. Now, you would think that this simple statement could just be accepted on its face without debate, but that's not the way it is with fallen man. This very simple but profound concept that John declares to us here in the first part of the first verse of his first epistle is so significant and so powerful that it is the single biggest area of debate and misunderstanding and outright rejection of any other aspect of Christianity. You see, dear friends, Christianity confesses very clearly that Jesus Christ was God Almighty in human flesh, that Jesus was God incarnate. Over in his gospel account, John opens his writing with these words, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And then in verse 14, John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So for 2,000 consecutive years, the Christian church has confessed and declared that Jesus Christ is both God and man. And for nearly 2,000 years, people have struggled over the issues of the full deity and the full humanity of the Lord. Now, more has been written about this issue than almost any other, and this one single issue of Christ's dual nature consumed the Christian church for its first 1,000 years of existence. Yet John is very bold about them both here, and in his epistle, John simply and categorically states that while it is true that Jesus was born of a woman and was fully man, that Jesus is also fully God. And it is on this one single issue that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion and human philosophy on earth. So we must be clear in our minds and hearts about the deity of Jesus, because John certainly was clear. Now, most all of the world agrees that Jesus was a good man. Many say that he was a great teacher, even a wonderful prophet. Some even dare to say that he was a living example of moral purity. Others testify that Jesus was a great teacher of a message of love. Mormons, Buddhists, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, as well as atheists and agnostics all agree that Jesus of Nazareth was a noble and a good man. But Christianity goes further than that. We confess that Jesus was not simply a good man. We who make up the visible church on earth confess boldly and unequivocally that this man named Jesus was both God and man. John Chrysostom, one of the early fathers of the church who led Christianity after the apostles died, said that Jesus was, quote, fully God and fully man in the same body at the same time without conflict or contradiction. In 451 A.D., the church gathered at the city of Chalcedon to settle a dispute over the dual nature of Jesus Christ. And at the conclusion of that meeting, a summary statement was drawn up, which said in part, quote, our Lord Jesus Christ is one and the same God, perfect in divinity and perfect in humanity, true God and true human, Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, manifested in two natures without any confusion, change, division, or separation. The union does not destroy the difference of the two natures, but on the contrary, the properties of each are kept and both are joined in one person, unquote. So we can see that from the very beginning of the church, Christians have always believed that Jesus was both God and man, that Jesus Christ is deity, that he is God incarnate, that Jesus is God wrapped in human flesh. Christianity does not say that Jesus was simply a good man who spoke about truth. No, no. The Christian church quotes that what Jesus said about himself and confesses that Jesus is truth. Jesus did not talk about the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus didn't show us about a new life. Jesus is the new life. Now, I understand that these statements may seem bold or even harsh, but there can be no debate about this among true believers about the issue of the person of Jesus Christ. And don't think for a minute that this doesn't matter, because Jude says that the issue of the person of Jesus Christ is one of the three areas where heretics bring in false teaching and apostasy into the church. So this matters a lot, and therefore we need to get this right. You see, when we have two things about the issue of the deity of Jesus Christ that we have to contend with. First of all, we have the scriptures themselves, which contain all that Jesus said about himself and all that the apostles were inspired to write about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And every single genuine believer has the duty and the responsibility and the joy to be faithful and true to what Scripture says. So we must examine every single verse about Jesus to see what God revealed about Jesus in Scripture. And we will find that some of the verses speak to the humanity of Jesus, while other verses speak to his divinity. So if we only look at those verses which describe Jesus' humanity, we will not get a clear picture of who Jesus is. By excluding all the many verses which speak about Jesus' divine nature, we will begin to think that Jesus was just a good man or a good teacher or a moral person. And this is the mistake that many of the cults made, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and other cults. This is the same mistake that Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and Hindus have made as well, which is why they all categorically reject the concept that Jesus was God, damning their own souls. Now, what complicates this issue is that it is also true that in addition to Jesus being fully God, that Jesus was born of a woman, just like any other human being. And this speaks to Jesus' full humanity. So you will find verses that say that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, just like any other human would do. It is also true that Jesus was baptized just like we are. The Bible also clearly records that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil just like we are. The Bible also tells us that Jesus ate food, got tired, slept, bled, and died just like any other human would do. In John 14:28, Jesus said, "You heard that I said to you, I will go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." Now, weak and undiscerning people read this and then come to the wrong conclusion that Jesus was simply a man, a very good man, but nevertheless just a man. And false teachers like Joseph Smith and Mary Baker Eddy and Charles Taze Russell and Mohammed built entire religious organizations out of this error. And some of the Word of Faith preachers of our day look at these verses that speak only of Jesus' humanity and develop terrible doctrines which are poison to the soul. So we must be careful about this, beloved, because those are not the only verses which describe Jesus. So we must go further than that. If we are going to get an accurate picture of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, we have to be sure that we read all that the Bible says and not just stop at those verses which describe his humanity. We also have to read those verses that describe the fact that Jesus walked on water, that he was born of a virgin, that he forgave sin, that he and his father, that his father was God, and that he was the Holy Spirit, that it was the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary that conceived Jesus, and that angels, men, and demons worship Jesus, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, if Jesus was simply a man, even if he was a good man or even if he was a prophet or a teacher, he would be encouraging idolatry to allow anybody to worship him. Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, none of the apostles ever allowed anyone to worship them, ever. But not only did Jesus allow people to worship him, he encouraged it, because since Jesus was God, it would be wrong for them not to worship him. Now, the Apostle John was particularly inspired to write about the issue of Christ's dual nature of both God and man, and the fact that Jesus was God Almighty in human flesh. So, if you take all that John said about Jesus in the first few verses of both his epistle and gospel accounts, you would come up with three amazing facts. Number one, Jesus was in the beginning. Number two, Jesus was with God in the beginning. Number three, Jesus is God. Number four, Jesus was a flesh and blood human being. Now, I fully realize that even when we accept these facts, we still have many questions. And that's fine, as long as we approach both the asking and answering of those questions with this in mind. The very person of Jesus Christ is a profound mystery. Jesus was, in fact, a supernatural miracle from his conception all the way to his ascension into heaven. Everything about Jesus was unique and unlike anybody else. That is why the Bible refers to Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, or a better translation would be the one and only of the Father. And we are to embrace that mystery of Jesus' person, and we are to marvel at him and adore him and love him and worship and follow him and obey him. Jesus was and is the most unique person to have ever been born. No one was ever like Jesus. No one will ever be like him. To accept his divinity and to deny his humanity is heresy and will damn your soul to hell. To accept his humanity and deny his divinity is equally heresy and will damn your soul to hell. We must accept everything that the Bible clearly reveals about Jesus and embrace it and proclaim it, that Jesus Christ was God. So John is telling us here in verse 1 that there was never a time when Jesus was not, and that he was with God from the beginning. And we're going to get into this, Lord willing, more deeply on the next broadcast. But I've got to stop right here. But please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.